thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the urban sports scene.
You're listening to the urban sports scene. It's Wally, my boy Ray Jeezy. Yeah, your mic's working, bro. Don't tap the mic.
I apologize.
Can you hear yourself? Because yeah, usually you're like,
sir,
I can't
hear. We used to do mic checks before the show. What happened to that? You're so
lazy.
Confident. You got swag or
I got swag, man. I got my boy back. My boy Ray's in the building. I thought I was going to have my man Will T in the building. I know I tweeted this out early. I said that the whole squad was going to be here. Will T's not in the building. So I felt like I lied to the people.
It's all good. Me and Will got the Martin and Gina thing. We've had that going on for a while. But
y'all definitely do.
When we come together, sometimes it can be a good thing. Sometimes, you know, it gets a little heated, but it's all love.
No, it's a beautiful thing when you all
75% of the original Urban Sports team remains intact. So, hey, we continue to do good things. But
yeah,
it's Falcons week. I don't care if it's preseason. I'm excited about it. I wore my shirt.
I know. I see it. I see.
Wore my Falcons shirt.
And like I told you,
check
when you
out
came
the webcam
into the building.
That doesn't exist yet.
I told you when you came into the building, man, it's preseason. I don't know why you're hyping this Falcons thing.
Well, again, I looked at the production notes and I saw Ray's Falcons on there. So I said, you know what? It's true. And the last time the Falcons lost to the Redskins was 2003. Patrick Ramsey was quarterback. And you guys, like, yo.
Why do you always,
because
every
I will not
time
let that go.
They play, you
and
bring it up.
You cursed your guys because they have not won since. Lavernius Coles is rolling over in his grave right now, bro.
My man. You know what? I will not respond to that. I will not do it. You can subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, and Google Play. Search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. We also got fantasy football, man. I know you're doing. You auto-drafting,
that is coming
right?
up. I'm auto-drafting because I will be in the building for the Mystics Liberty game
awesome,
on
man.
Sunday. Come holler at me. I'll be in the press section like around section 107.
How's my girl doing?
Who, Natasha Cloud?
You know it.
You know what? Natasha Cloud is a solid point guard, but she's my least favorite player on the team. If you heard recently, you know that WNBA players are now going to be on NBA 2K, right?
Yeah, I heard about that.
And you
saw
Ariel Powell's response to it. Like, she's such a G. I think she might be one of the top players on that team.
Uh-huh, mm-hmm.
Outside of course, Elena Delladonna.
Uh-huh.
But overall, the entire Mystics team, all the way down to Misa Min, Hines Allen, everybody's playing well.
Mm-hmm.
Defensively, they're getting better. I'm excited, but that's another subject. Holla at me, like I said, if
yeah, we need to talk about that next time.
Tomorrow night or Wednesday or Sunday.
Sunday? Bet. All right, Will T would normally say this. Let's get into our tradition, the pregame. We'll talk. Here's what we have on tap. We'll talk about last week's Skins preseason game against the Bengals, the Skins losing to the Bengals 23-13. At 8:20, we'll preview the Skins rehearsal preseason game against the Atlanta Falcons. Rehearsal.
We're talking about it, so it must be significant.
I mean, it's
important.
It's a third preseason game. That's what we're talking about.
Starters.
At 8:30, we'll debate if the Washington Nationals should go to a six-man rotation. At 8:40, we'll discuss Jay-Z's partnership with the NFL. Lex Diamond from Heritage Sports Radio Network will join us. Finally, at 8:50, we'll talk about Lakers center DeMarcus Cousins with a horrific ACL injury that could hinder his NBA career as an elite big. Elite. I'm not saying his career is over, but an elite big. But first, last week, the Skins lost to the Bengals 23-13. Dwayne Haskins threw for 114 yards, including a 55-yard touchdown pass to wide receiver Robert Davis Jr. Your thoughts on the rookie's play?
I don't think he's ready to start just yet. Mm-hmm. I believe Joe Theismann, somewhere around the third quarter, he highlighted that Jay Gruden is putting Dwayne Haskins in a position to get the ball out quickly.
Yeah.
So right now they're tailoring the offense to him because, of course, he does not have that field awareness yet that he should, being that this is only, his second preseason game.
Mm-hmm.
He missed a couple throws. He had just missed Davis. Was it the play before?
Davis should have caught that. You talking about the high pass?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought Davis could have still caught that.
I still think he missed on that. And then he missed.
I mean, he didn't get it where
he
wanted to be.
He missed Sims on the sideline.
Mm-hmm.
Also, where I felt as though at Ohio State, he made that throw 9 times out of 10.
Mm.
So I believe that he needs to grow as far as his learning the playbook, as far as field awareness, as far as reading defenses, and watching an experienced veteran who does get the ball out quickly will help him in the long run. Again, you know he's the future.
Mm-hmm.
And he should know that. I believe he's secure in that. But the thing that is great about him, and I loved him since high school,
I was going to ask you, you've seen this kid play.
He's always striving to get better.
Uh-huh.
If you watched him against Penn State last year. To me, that was his coming out party. Where on a national level, he told the world, I've been doing this since I was a kid. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm built for this. Mm-hmm. Because you go to Penn State, that environment, you got McSorley on the other side, who's up in Baltimore now. That would be great to see. Well, they will play against each other possibly in that fourth preseason game. Yeah. But anyway, mm-hmm. you go into that environment, Penn State was playing so good. Penn State had them by double digits, and they come back and win. And like I said, he pounded his chest and said, I'm built for this. People don't know, but I've been doing this since Pop Warner. And I said, yeah, this is the guy that I saw at Bullets, and I'm like, you know what? He's going to be a star. I called you right away. Like, we got to get this dude on the show back then. Because at the time he was committing to Maryland. I'm like, you know what? This guy's going to be a star. It would be great for Maryland to have him. Obviously, he didn't go and become a Terrapin. But still, I believe watching Case Keenum will benefit him. And maybe midway through the season, we can say he's ready to take over. But also, your offensive line has to show more before you put that young man out there.
Yeah, I mean, I was at the game, and I'm with you. I don't think he's ready. It's not because I don't think he's accurate. I think he's accurate enough. My only issue with Dwayne Haskins is that he's processing things a little quickly. He's a rookie. You know, it is what it is. I said this last week. He's a rookie, so processing things, holding the ball too long. Those are things I think that he needs to work on with Jay's system. I don't even think Jay has tailored this system enough for Dwayne Haskins. And that's the issue when you see Jay Gruden over the years is that he doesn't tailor his offense for his quarterback. It's Jay's system. It's always Jay's system. You have to understand the terminology of Jay's system. You saw with Kirk Cousins, he just got used to the system. Robert Griffin III, same thing. He had to get used to Jay's system. Jay's about his system. It's not like Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, or say, who's the coach in Philadelphia? I'm sorry, I'm having a moment. The head coach in Philadelphia.
Currently?
Huh? Yeah, currently. I mean, currently. The dude who won the Super Bowl.
Johnson?
No.
No. Shoot, you got me. I can see him in my head.
I can see him in my head. Whatever. Like that coach, he tailored everything for Carson Wentz. You look at coaches like that, and all right, they tailor their offense for their young quarterback. Same with what the Arizona Cardinals are doing with Murray. Jay doesn't do that. So Haskins is going to have to learn Jay's system, and I don't think throwing them in early is something they need to do. Yeah, Doug Peterson.
I didn't even look it up. I tried to Google it, and I Googled it.
But I'm with you, though. I mean, but at the end of the day, I think he played. He was good. He was solid. He wasn't great. I mean, his stat line isn't horrible, but he wasn't great in any, any stretch of the imagination. Like you said, Ray, though, like you watched him play prior to college. You saw him, in high school, you heard about the kid. When you watch him, his arm talent is amazing. I think that blows out everybody.
That's the thing that separates him from Keenum is Keenum does not have the deep ball that mm-hmm. Dwayne Haskins does. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. So to me, that's what separates him. But again, I feel as though he'll benefit from being able to play behind a veteran again who already has that experience and the field awareness and has that presence in the pocket that he's hoping to develop, and I believe he will over time. But we don't want to rush him, and then he's got to have somebody block for him as well. So I'm looking at the future with Dwayne Haskins. I'm not even judging him off of these couple of games. Now, one of the things that's hurting him right now, I think, as far as public perception goes, is Daniel Jones in New York playing pretty well when Dwayne Haskins was he was thought to be the top pick for the Giants, but they took the guy from Duke that wasn't Zion Williamson. And a lot of criticism for them, but he's played well so far.
Yeah.
And I think that's hurt Dwayne Haskins' stock.
You think
a
so?
Bit. Yeah,
no one's talking about that, though.
I say on a national scale. Not really.
Not even nationally. They're not talking about it. People are just that's more on Eli. No one's comparing the two. No one's saying, like, well, the Redskins messed up by not – or, I mean, the Giants did right by not picking Haskins. It's more like
I don't know what you watch, but – it immediately came up that the Redskins bluffed and told the Giants, we're going to take Daniel Jones at 15.
That
immediately came up as soon as Daniel Jones started playing well. I'm telling you.
I'm watching the same. It's not like a national big time storyline because there's so many other things.
I won't debate that. But what I will say is Jay Gruden is going to have to learn how to make adjustments at some point because he's so confident in his system that he feels like even if I plug Colt McCoy in, he knows the system, he knows the terminology, and he can ball, but that hasn't worked out for him. Also, when it comes to Kirk Cousins, it can be debated that Sean McVay had just as much to do with his success.
Agreed.
As
a Jay.
As coach.
Yeah.
So, you know, thinking that your system is just going to work for whoever you plug in there is asinine, considering the results that you've, mm-hmm. that you've gotten thus far.
Yeah.
And the team hasn't benefited from it. And again, I always say this on the show. He's thought to be a quarterback guru, right?
Yeah.
Andy Dalton. Somebody everybody mm-hmm. brings up when you think of him synonymously with Jay Gruden.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, dog.
No, I'm with you, man. I'm with you. On Twitter, our homie George tweeted, I am not sure Simba is that far from being ready. I just don't want him to play behind an offensive line that doesn't have exactly. Trent Williams playing in it. Yeah, when you look at – this is my thing. We're comparing Dwayne Haskins to if Colt McCoy was healthy, Colt McCoy and Case Keenum. To me, talent-wise, Dwayne Haskins is just as good as those dudes. If you want to start the other individuals, it's because of quote-unquote experience or whatever. But if you're looking at straight talent – yeah, Dwayne Haskins is better. And I'm talking about talent, not just because he can throw the ball farthest. I think Dwayne Haskins is just as accurate or even more accurate than those two quarterbacks, period, too. So it's not just he can throw the ball far. He is accurate enough. He's more accurate than those quarterbacks, too. It's just knowing the system or whatever. Because Case Keenum doesn't even know the system thoroughly anyway. But
he gets the ball out quick.
He does. To a certain extent.
I'm concerned about the offensive line. Like I said, even Morgan Moses is not playing well. Sean Laval looked terrible in that game.
Sean Laval's not on the team.
He's not?
Yeah.
Oh, who's 77 now then?
77 is Eric Flowers.
There we go. He looked bad. My bad.
No. Moses looks okay. Moses didn't look bad.
I didn't think he looked.
Yeah. No, he wasn't bad. Moses wasn't bad.
I didn't say bad, but did he look good?
Yeah, he was good. It was all the left side, man. It wasn't the right side.
Okay,
it was
all left side. So I got Eric Flowers out right
there.
Yeah,
he did right.
Okay.
Eric Flowers and Christian. Christian was horrible. Christian, who's taking Trent's spot right now. It was the rookie last year out of Louisville.
I'm just listening to you. Because,
yeah. So
again, I'm just looking as a whole. Like they don't get a whole lot of they don't get a whole lot of push.
They need Trent
for the run game.
Well, you know,
and they don't get any. They don't protect the quarterback, of course.
Yeah, they don't. I mean, AP AP's AP. AP looked good in his short stint. AP had 31 yards early, so AP looked good. He averaged 7.8 yards a carry, so AP looked good. You know, it's not the running's not the issue. I don't think that's going to be right now. Right now, it's not an issue with the right side. I can't speak for the left side. With the right side, the issue is going to be, you know, when depending on who they play. So, for instance, if week one, we'll talk about that later. But week one, when they play the Eagles, that's going to be an issue because the Eagles have a physical front seven. But the issue is that left side. Trent, if Christian is going to start, if Flowers is going to start, they're better off starting a young kid, Wes Martin. Wes Martin out of Indiana. That kid looked good. With the second unit, he should be playing. He should be starting left guard. Shouldn't be Eric Flowers. But
yeah, Eric Flowers is horrible.
He's horrible. He was always horrible.
Again, I just saw 77. I'm like, dude, he's not blocking. You know what I mean? Because honestly, I was listening to the broadcast, but I turned it down. Joe Theismann is overly biased for me, for my liking.
Always, bro.
Overly biased. To where everybody looks good in his eyes.
He's a homer, though. You know that, right?
Yeah, I know. And I'm not saying I dislike him. You know, I'm not trying to be critical of what he's achieved. Even in the media, but I'm just saying it just gets to be too much for me. You know what I mean? So I was watching, I was trying to hear and formulate my own opinions as opposed
That's
to, but
doing.
I did hear him talk about Haskins and how, but again, hey, when he said this, he said, Jay is doing such a great job with Haskins, putting him in position. And again, this is his
man,
word.
I pray about, man, yeah. Man, the press box is totally different, man.
Oh yeah. I know. I've been in the press box,
yeah, you've
but
been there, man.
I'm not so,
yeah.
I'm not even so, pressed to be up there either, considering some of the guys that sit there too. So,
we'll talk about it off air. But this is the best experience I had. Now, I'm with you. I'm gonna tell you why I was.
The
like
last the time I was there was when the Cowboys came to town, and it's always a cool environment with them because like Calvin Hill sat with us and a couple other guys that are in the mainstream media as well.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. My boy Ray G's. I'm Wally. Safety Monte Nicholson had a 96-yard pick six on the Bengals' first drive. You can hate all you want to. What were your thoughts on the Skins' defense as a whole? Like, the
No.
Man.
Only reason I said because how did the Bengals get down there?
Oh, penalties. Josh Norman, man.
Josh Norman had back-to-back penalties.
That was
a bad
one, though. That wasn't a good one. That was a bad penalty, though. That was a bad call.
Oh, which one?
the personal foul hit.
There were several bad calls. That
I know.
several bad calls. But I'm just saying, I feel as though, first of all, before I get to the penalties,
yeah.
I know Joe Mixon didn't break any big runs, but the holes were wide open for him. So I was concerned about that. You weren't really paying attention.
I couldn't see from my bench.
That's when TV helps out. Now, again, he didn't break any long runs because the tackling was halfway decent, if you ask me.
They got speed. They have more speed. They have more speed than they used to have.
But, again, running the football. Now, the Bengals had some penalties that negated some of his runs, too.
Yeah, that holding.
But you had three penalties in that drive. Again, one egregious one that put the Bengals in position to score in the first place. Mm-hmm. So I feel as though they had to make up, them being the defense, had to make up for the penalties by getting that turnover.
Yeah.
It was great. It was Payne that got a hand on the ball, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So to me, the defense did what they were supposed to do to get their team out of a hole that, to me, they created. Bad call or not, you had two other penalties on that drive again that put you in a bad position.
No, I'm with you. I think the defense, from my vantage point, I'm not going to say the defense was lights out. I'm not going to say that.
Heck no.
I thought it was good, but I think that to me, the defense was good. I'm talking about the first string defense was good. You're talking about
penalties. They weren't out there long enough for me to like formulate
penalties,
too much.
I mean, penalties.
No, the defense didn't look good, which is going to be critical. Well, we'll see what happens with Zeke. But anyway,
I don't think the run defense is horrible. Like, again, my vantage point was different, so I can't really dice. You saw it on TV.
No, you can't say they were horrible because, again, Joe Mixon didn't play that long. But again, from what I was looking at, I'm like, if these holes exist when the regular season starts, they're going to be in trouble.
Depending on what running backs you're playing against.
That's true, too.
You know what I mean?
But I also said, if he had a full game's worth of work, you don't know.
You don't know. Like, you just, I mean.
It's hard to tell.
Like, I mean, I had issues with the penalty. Like, they were better. I graded them off of, they were better than they were last week in terms of showing aggression. It was all about aggression to me. If you're going to fail, I'd rather you fail being aggressive. I will say this. I've said this before. If this defense fails, it's going to be on Minuski because the talent is there. We're like, year for years, we were like, they don't have talent. I mean, they don't have talent. Why are we judging the DC, defensive coordinator? They have the talent now to be a good defense. You see them boys in Baltimore? I'm always going to say this. Them boys in Baltimore, the talent isn't off the chain. They lost so many players. So many talented players. It's about the mentality and it's about the brand. B-more has the brand of how they play defense and how they play it. The first preseason game, nobody scored. I'm talking about Bammers who aren't going to make the team. Period. Still playing lockdown defense. Like, it's a mentality how you play defense. And I think, for me, Minuski has to have that mentality when he coaches these young boys, especially some of the talent they do have.
The biggest takeaway for me was the tackling was better.
Yeah, it was better.
I still feel like, as a whole, not just the first string, but as a whole, the tight end, they don't cover the tight end well.
Oh, no, they cover the tight end. My advantage, I can't see. I saw
the whole game.
I'm talking about the starters.
No, I just said, that's why. That's why
to your point.
Because that falls on the D coordinator as well.
Yeah, but see, on that aspect, the guys that are going to make the team didn't play, the guys you're referring to. So, Deion Hamilton didn't play. Holcomb from North Carolina didn't play. Those two are going to be the inside linebackers in that group. The other guys probably won't make the team.
I was replying to what you said, a mentality, right?
Yeah, it's a mentality, though. You're right, though.
No, whatever guys you plug in, I don't think the tight end should be wide open.
No. I'm not going to argue.
Or should
I agree.
Be to eat observe. Maybe I'm wrong.
No, I know what you're saying, and you're correct, because it's the same thing I saw against the Cleveland Browns. That first drive, everybody was running free, was running wide open. I know it's a preseason game, but again, it's a mentality. You shouldn't have people running wide open.
Oh, yeah. Just like your offense only had, eight plays in the first quarter?
Yeah.
Which is terrible.
Yeah.
Overall, I don't know what are we going to ask me next? My bad, before I jump ahead.
Go ahead. You can jump in.
Because I feel as though the most disappointment on the team for me, or the most, I guess what I was disappointed in the most, if I'm saying that right,
you're right.
Is this is special teams.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Like, right off the jump, first of all, you allow the Bengals to have a return all the way to like your 40.
Yeah, the bat.
Yeah, and then obviously the miss extra point, another missed field goal.
Yeah,
and then was it a punt return?
Punt return.
So special teams was the worst unit overall.
Yeah, that was horrible.
That has to be fixed.
That has to be fixed ASAP because you're not going to be a dominant offense. You're hoping to lean on your defense. So, you know that in football, if you're not going to have the greatest offense in the world, your defense, your running game has to be the thing
and
that keeps you afloat.
And you have arguably the best punter in the league.
Exactly. So you better clean that up if you want to compete for a postseason spot. You mentioned some of the, you know, some of the low moments for this team. I think high moments, you look at that game. I like Robert. I'm going to keep talking about this kid, Robert Davis Jr., the guy who did catch the touchdown pass with Dwayne Haskins. The dude blew his whole leg out, tore his whole leg up, excuse me. And for the last 2 weeks, he's had touchdown catches. That's impressive to me. You know what I mean?
I like Jeremy Sprinkle, to be honest.
No, he looked good too.
I feel as though when Vernon Davis is done, he's going to fill in nicely. And you don't know what Jordan Reed's future looks like in terms of injuries.
Yeah.
So I feel like he's going to be a great addition to the team. I also felt like Keenum threw a nice ball to Cam Sims. Obviously, it was called back. Mm-hmm. But that would have been – well, it wouldn't have been a touchdown. That would have been down to the one – no, it was a touchdown, wasn't it? It was a touchdown called back.
Was it? I don't
Cam
remember.
Sims, I believe he dove in the end zone.
They called it back. Yeah, they said it was a call.
That was a nice play that, again, would have changed the momentum of the game as well. So those are the bright spots, in my opinion. Jimmy Moreland is obviously a guy that everybody loves. And rightfully so. He's the most right now consistent as far as DBs go.
I didn't think he was that special last game. Like, his first game was off the charts. I thought he was okay. I didn't think he was special. I think Josh Norman wasn't bad. He just had them bad penalties.
He's inconsistent.
In preseason, he's barely. I'm talking about preseason, bro. We're calling off. Jimmy Moreland's a preseason. This is a preseason.
That's true. But hey, listen. A lot of the talk about Jimmy Moreland came out of training camp.
Killing the camp. He killed the camp when I was there.
The receiver, Ohio State, is it McLaurin?
McLaurin has not even played yet.
Right, he hasn't played yet.
And everybody's saying
he's the truth. And he's been the same. If Jimmy Moreland has been the top name coming out of training camp, he's had it been like a close number two in terms of hype surrounding his name.
Bro, you're right.
I'm just saying, we fell into this training camp hype before.
I know, but I haven't. I don't do that.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't. The only person I feel the vibe with is Jimmy Moreland. That's it. Everybody else, they're not going to get me. They're not going to get me. They are not. They will not get me. I heard it all about the defense, too. When I saw against Cleveland, I was like, I'm not impressed.
Here's the thing.
It should be better.
If we will not buy into that hype, then we cannot overly criticize a guy like Colt McCoy, who we said didn't throw the ball well in camp, or whoever we feel like doesn't play well in camp.
You're throwing the ball. If you ain't throwing it right.
See, it's a double standard.
It is.
Now, again, I'm not buying into the hype because I'm sick of it.
Yeah.
I've been living with this since Jason Campbell.
Shows no emotion.
I'm not gonna go there, but I'm just saying I've been to training camp before where, oh man, Portis looks so lean and Jason Campbell just hitting Santana on the stride. Look at D'Angelo Hall. And then the season starts, it's like, whoa, like, bro, where's the offense? So let's see what happens. And let's also see how healthy this team can be this season, because injuries decimated them last year, and that's been an ongoing issue. Which not only we have criticized, but also former players.
No doubt. The Skins have raised Falcons next. We'll discuss that after the break. Listen to
2003,
the
last time.
The ages, you dig, Deuces. Shut the up! Listening to the urban sports scene with myself, Wally, Ray Jeezy. Like I mentioned earlier, Will T's out. Thursday at 7:30, the Skins take on the Atlanta Falcons. First off, should Dwayne Haskins get work with the first unit?
Yes, especially if you're still evaluating who's going to be your starter. The consensus is Keenum is going to be your starter, yeah, but
that's
what could it hurt? Why can't you get a sample of what this could potentially look like against a guy in Dan Quinn who prides himself on defense? The Falcons have a lot of injuries, or a lot of guys recovering from injuries, such as Keanu Neal and Ricardo Allen, two of your top players who you lost early last season.
Yeah.
But you also are bringing back guys who are looking to, you know, earn their money. Grady Jarrett got paid.
Yeah.
You say you weren't impressed with him, but he's been balling so far this preseason. He's a guy in the middle that can make a push. He can test a guy like Dwayne Haskins. Also, Vic Beasley. This is his career year as far as – or contract year.
Career. Oh, what's about that? It's a bag year. That's what I call it. I call it a bag year.
He has not developed into the pass rusher, consistent pass rusher, that Atlanta was thinking he would. They thought he was going to be the heir apparent to John Abraham. It just hasn't happened yet. So you got guys hungry on Atlanta's defense. Trufant, best corner in the NFC South, I'll say, in my opinion. I'm biased, though. You know that. But yeah.
I don't know who's in the South. I'm trying to think. Who's in the South?
What teams?
Yeah, you have the Panthers,
the Saints, and the Buccaneers.
Oh no, everyone thinks that the kid. Everyone loves the kid from New Orleans.
Again, I said in my opinion.
I know Lattimore. So I mean, people say Lattimore would be the best quarterback.
Nah,
I'm just being real.
I think he's overrated, and maybe that's
bro. I'm a Michigan dude. You know, I don't care for Ohio State. I'm just saying that's what folks say, not me. I don't like Lattimore.
Again, Atlanta's pass rush is not the best, so you should be able to keep your quarterback upright, and that's a perfect time to play Dwayne Haskins.
Well, I think it's still if you're gonna start Christian or Eric Flowers, I mean Beasley is a test for Christian because he's a speed rusher, and I just think that's always gonna be a challenge, and that's good for Dwayne Haskins if he's gonna play with the first unit. But I'm with you, Ray. Why not give him some work? Like, why not? Like, why not have him throw the ball to a Dotson or throw the ball to a Jordan Reed if he plays, or hand the ball off to Adrian Peterson? As, you know, you should have a good idea what Case Keenum can do. He's a vet. Give him some work, you know, because you never – Jay was in a situation last year where everybody went down. So give the kid some confidence.
Well, Atlanta's going to play Deion Jones, who, again, he got paid to. Dan Quinn feels like Deion Jones is the best middle linebacker in the league. He's crazy, but he feels that way. And if you feel as though a guy is that good
– he's fast, though.
Oh, Deion Jones is a beast. I'm just saying, I don't know if he's the best middle linebacker in the league.
I like Luke Kuechly. That's
a whole nother argument. But anyway, but he is one of the top guys. You will agree at that position. So again, it's just another way to develop your young quarterback.
It's a
great test.
It's a great test. My man Taj Wilson on Twitter @TajWilson414. He tweeted about Dwayne Haskins if he should get some burn with the ones. Yep, none of the other quarterbacks have done anything to say that he shouldn't. No, again, I agree. Case Keenum hasn't done anything special. Colt McCoy won't play because he's injured. And don't you feel bad for Colt? That leg injury he had last year, it's still hindering him.
Well, you feel bad because he's such a good guy. No, honestly.
Yeah, real
he's
talk.
A high character guy. I loved him at Texas. All of us did. He's been everything you want in a backup quarterback. He's Jason Garrett. He's a coach on the side. I'm
so
serious.
So true.
He's Jason Garrett. But at the same time, you know, his production on the field is not equal to what value Jay has placed on
him. No, I'm with you.
So you feel bad for him personally because he's such a nice guy. But then again, you want to give your young top pick some work.
So who for the Skins needs a good showing, in your opinion?
Well, I know that the fan base is high on Jimmy Moreland, but he's going to have a great test this week in Calvin Ridley. You and I were arguing about this before.
Yeah, I like Calvin Ridley.
Julio ain't playing, so what?
He probably won't play against Calvin Ridley.
The only reason I wanted Julio to play is because Josh Norman has this fictitious belief that he's been the only person that could stop Julio in his career, which is ridiculous.
It goes back to Carolina, right?
Yeah, it does. Not obviously in a Redskins jersey, because last year Julio ate against y'all. He scored his first touchdown against
the
Redskins. But anyway,
you already know the amount of respect I have for Julio Jones. I think he's the best wide receiver in football. So continue and don't make it an all Atlanta thing. Continue.
I'm not. Jimmy Moreland. That's gonna be a good testament because as we talked about beforehand, Calvin really runs great routes.
Yeah.
Also, are you going to be able to stop the Falcons' run attack, which is a three-headed monster, believe it or not, if you include Ito Smith. So
who?
Ito Smith is
I don't know what that is. I'm not gonna lie.
Screw you. But here's the thing.
Is Sean Hamilton
playing this game?
He may not. He may not. Hopefully, but he may not. Go ahead.
But who on the Redskins outside of Jimmy Moreland, who again he's got a lot of hype, but this is gonna be his best test.
Yeah.
Can we agree?
Yeah. Definitely.
In that regard. And then your offensive line and your defensive line. Both O-line and D-line need to have a good showing in this game going against one of the top quarterbacks in the league. And then you have to protect your guy against, again, a team that does not rush the quarterback well. So I expect them to have better showings, both lines, especially offensive line. If I had to put more faith in somebody, it would be the D-line, of course. But the offensive line, this is your chance to show that you can't compete against a top team and you're going to play longer.
I think Eric Flowers has to – is a guy who needs to show out. Christian, we mentioned that. Those are the guys have been okay. I'm talking about, I'm being real. Now I'm really breaking it down because it needs to be broken down. Like Flowers and Christian need to produce. In terms of the defense, I think that you mentioned if Sean Deion Hamden plays, I think he has to play better. We have a short sample size of what he did last season. He has to play better. In terms of the offense, going back to wide receiver, I think Josh Dotson has to show you something, to be honest with you.
That's always the case.
Yeah, but he hasn't done anything. He didn't play his first game. He got a couple passes thrown his way the other against the Bengals. This is a full half. He has to show something. Like show something. Like show that, you know what, this is my contract year. I'm about that bag. We heard, like you talk about camp, he looked great in camp for what I heard and what I saw. He looked great in camp. We heard a lot of talk about that camp talk. There you go, that camp talk. It's time to show out, though. See, this is what it is. You got an opportunity to match what everybody's talking about. Atlanta is a good test. Ray just mentioned that they have good cornerbacks. They got Trufant, who's probably the best cornerback in the South. It's time to show out. You're going to get an opportunity to go against one of the young, better cornerbacks in football. Show out. That's my thing. It's like, now it's an opportunity. You're playing against a good – and then you're playing against the Atlanta Falcons offense with Matt Ryan. Regardless of what people may say about Matt Ryan or anything, he's still one of the top quarterbacks in this league. He's not top five, but he's still one of the top quarterbacks in this league. I'm not knock. It's not a knock. It's being real.
It's okay.
You know what I'm saying? It's not a knock
at all.
It's all
because of Bill Belichick.
You know what I'm saying?
If they didn't blow that league, he's a top five quarterback.
Yeah, I agree.
Because Aaron Rodgers got one.
I agree with you. I agree with you, right? But so here's an opportunity to have one of the more respected quarterbacks in the league. I think that's better stated. You now have, as a defense, your secondary has to show out. Now you're going to be tested. Jimmy Moreland, not just Jimmy Moreland, Dunbar, Norman, you are now tested. Inside linebackers, you're now tested against the tight ends and in the running backs because they do catch the ball at the backfield. You're tested. Now this is an opportunity to see what Greg Minuski, that's the dude who needs to show out, show the Redskins fan base who's already dwindling that this defense is for real and they're not all hype from training camp talk or whatnot.
And this is a team in Atlanta that put up 38 against you last year in your house.
Yeah.
Now you're going into their house, hostile environment. Go ball, man. You have nothing to lose.
Nothing to lose at all.
So you're right in the sense that it's going to be on the coaches.
Yeah.
If your guys aren't prepared, aren't ready, they're not geared up for the preseason game that to me matters the most because of the fact that the starters play longer, bruh, something's wrong. And this is what criticism has come out of the Redskins locker room in the past is the coaches don't motivate their guys. DJ Swearing just said it over and over again.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm with you. All right. It's time to close this segment up.
Falcons win.
I don't care about it now. It's a preseason. You don't stop that crap. Should the Nationals go with the six-man rotation? We'll discuss this after the break. Listening to the urban sports scene for ages. You dig? Deuces. I got loyalty, got royalty inside my DNA. Quarter piece, got war and peace inside my DNA. I got power, poison, pain, and joy inside my DNA. I got hustle, though, ambition, flow inside my DNA. I was born like this, is born like this, immaculate conception. I transform like this, perform like this, what shouts you a new weapon. I don't contemplate, I meditate, then off your head. This that put the kids to bed. This that I got realness, I just kill shit. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Ray Jeezy, myself, Wally. I mentioned before, Will T is out. Reportedly, Max Scherzer is coming back Thursday. Scherzer has been on the shelf due to a back injury. Eric Fetty and Joe Ross have been amazing in his absence. Joe Ross had to leave last night's game early due to a line drive to the knee in the fourth inning. If Ross is okay, should the Nats consider going to a six-man rotation?
I don't see why not.
Mm-hmm.
You're playing very well right now overall. You've been winning games. You've been winning games consecutively, in large part because pitching has been much better, you know, as a whole. And going into the playoffs, assuming that you're going to make the playoffs, which I believe is a great assumption at this point, or presumption,
mm-hmm.
to me, you're going to need to make sure that you have a strong rotation going in. Joe Ross and Fetty both at times can be a little shaky.
Yeah.
But you're not going to have every starter in your lineup or in your rotation have 2 and 3 ERAs, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You're going to have guys who give up 5-plus runs a game,
yeah.
well, between 5 and 6 runs per game. And you have 2 aces.
Yeah.
Really?
3 aces.
You think Corbin's an ace?
Oh, Corbin's an ace.
Patrick Corbin is one of my favorite Nats, actually.
Yeah, he's an ace.
But going back, though, you don't even need to rush Scherzer back.
You don't. You don't need to rush
when your guys are pitching so well as it is.
Yeah, you don't need to. On Twitter, my man Steven Newman tweeted, absolutely not. Only does it allow to – absolutely, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
Not only does it allow good pitchers to keep starting, but it also keeps them fresher, which I agree. Don't forget Max Scherzer, Steven Strasburg, Patrick Corbin, Anibal Sanchez, Eric Fetty, and Joe Ross have had recent injuries. Injury troubles.
Exactly.
Excuse me. Four have had Tommy John surgery. Very true.
I totally agree.
I think that Joe Ross, Eric Fetty have been not just good, have been amazing down this stretch. Prior they were inconsistent, but now like they have been lights out. Joe Ross has been amazing.
Yeah, to me, I was gonna say he's been better than Fetty.
I think Fetty has been more consistent. I think to be fair, Fetty has been more consistent throughout the season. But if we're looking at this stretch, Joe Ross has been amazing.
Right,
he's been amazing. So I would go with a six-man rotation. Why not? Like Ray said too, why rush Max Scherzer? You know, Scherzer is a competitor. If he goes out and pitches Thursday and then says, you know what, I feel a little sore, I think, you know, obviously that means you rushed him. You got two guys who are holding it down. Arguably, in this stretch, to be honest with you, they probably pitched better than Corbin and Steven Strasburg in this stretch. I'm not saying throughout the season, but in this stretch, because Strasburg's had some rough outings and still got W's. These two have been lights out. Like, Ross had a no-hitter for a while. That's how good he's been. So I would like for the Nationals to go with a six-man rotation, because Steven mentioned and Ray agreed with keeping that crew fresh.
Yeah,
that would be amazing. Like having those arms fresh going into the postseason
mm-hmm.
would be a good thing.
And then I mean, if you're really pressed mm-hmm. to try to steal one in let's just say a playoff series, or you're trying to close out a series, you can use one of those starters to close the game, so you don't have to deal with some of the inconsistencies that have been in your bullpen. We've seen it happen many times.
Yeah.
The most recent one that comes to memory was Bumgarner. Bumgarner closed out a World Series.
Oh man, yeah.
You know, so this is what happens. And the bats have been so good lately that when you get run support, mm-hmm. it makes your job so much easier.
Yeah, on a Facebook group, diehard national fans, Greg Yo, he posted no. Move Fetty to long relief if necessary. I don't agree with that. I think Fetty doesn't really thrive at that. Some pitchers thrive at starting. I don't think Fetty thrives as a long reliever.
It's a bad idea.
It's not a bad idea, but I don't think he'll be effective.
I don't think he'll be effective.
Like Joe Ross as a reliever wasn't good, but as a starter, he's better. You know what I mean? Some pitchers are just that way. Scott Shepard said release Joe Ross. He's a money pit. I think that's a joke. Robert James posted, yes, during games against lighter hitters, I'm hitting clubs. To me, it wouldn't matter. I would still pitch those individuals against anybody right now. That's how strong they are. It wouldn't be I wouldn't have a situation for a six-man rotation. I would just go with a six-man rotation. It just they've been playing that well. This Nats team with those young guys have been very special, and it's going to be interesting too down the road, because you can't keep everybody. I want to know, you know, in terms of trading during the offseason or next year's trade deadline, are you going to keep those two kids?
If you're Davey too, you got to make sure that you continue to mix up your lineups, mm-hmm. and that you continue to make adjustments, mm-hmm. because the Mets are surging.
Oh, the Mets are
surging. The yeah. Phillies aren't going anywhere. They're not very good, but they're not going anywhere. You know, you still have teams just in your own division on your heels.
They're balling.
You know, you have to be flexible, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Because what I've seen from David Martinez at times, he's very stubborn with his decision making, and a lot of people have been questioning whether he's overpitched. Both Rodney and Doolittle.
He has a 40 plus year old and Doolittle. So, he's crazy.
Okay, but if you just overpitch Rodney, where mm-hmm. that blew a win mm-hmm. because Rodney came in, he had been pitching on no rest and he gave up runs. You do the same thing with Doolittle. Are you learning from your mistakes? Are you being flexible? Are you making the proper adjustments? And I know some people won't want to question it. Maybe it's because we're not as high yeah. on Davey as many are. I don't know.
I know. My man Taj tweeted us and said, I don't think so. Players are creatures of habit. Let Fetty or Ross be the emergency starter on those days they have a double header. And if any of the Yeasts feel any pain, just sit them. Any pain should sit him. Steven tweeted back again and said, doesn't sound like
not a bad idea.
They're going to. Davey mentioned having Joe Ross throw on Saturday, which would otherwise be Eric Fetty's start. So they're already considered just putting Fetty on the bench and starting Joe Ross.
Again, I don't think there's a wrong answer here. Everybody has their opinion, but the one thing we can't dispute is how well these guys have been pitching.
Oh, balling, man. Balling. Not just
and pitching. The reason why we're having this discussion is because they've been pitching so well.
Yeah, no, we're not talking about the Orioles.
And the team is playing so well. Well, yeah, the Orioles are in a rebuilding year. It's not a whole lot to talk about with them, but you guys talked about them at nauseam.
I didn't go say it.
So I had to turn off my own show, man.
It was a great show, though. We had great listeners. We had great listeners. I mean, we had so many like
the most downloads, man. Garbage that I've heard.
So many downloads, man. Nat, I'm talking Orioles talk was amazing. Ray ain't a fan of it. It was amazing, man. It was one of the best things ever, dog.
Listen, you know me. I have no issue with Orioles. I work in Baltimore. I'm around Oriole fans all the time. I enjoy talking about them, but not for close to a half hour.
All right, man. You know what we're going to talk about? We're going to talk about Hov, man. Is Jay-Z a sellout? We'll discuss that after the break. Listen to the Urban Sports Scene for ages. You dig? Deuces.
Most incredible, baby. Yeah. I can't see him coming down my eyes, so I gotta make the song cry. I can't see him coming down my eyes, so I gotta make the song cry. Good dude, I know you love me like cooked food, even though it's gotta move like a crook move. We was together on the block since free lunch. We should have been together having Four Seasons brunch. We used to use umbrellas to face the bad weather. So now we travel first class to change the forecast. Never in bunches, just me and you. I loved your point of view cause you held no punches. Still I left you for months on end. It's been months since I checked back in. We're somewhere in a small town, somewhere locking them all down. Wood grain, foreign change, armor all down. I can understand why you want a divorce now, though I can't let you know it.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Ray Jeezy, myself, Wally. Man, that song cry, man. Don't you mess with Hov like song cry?
Nah,
you don't mess with song cry. Favorites. You ain't like song cry.
I didn't say I didn't like it. I said it's not one of my favorites.
I'm not a big Jay. What's your favorite Jay-Z song?
Oh, that's a tough one.
That's a tough one.
That's a tough one because I have a lot of.
I mean, you a T.I. dude. I'm saying that's a tough. That's a tough one for
I have a lot. I like the Takeover.
Yeah, Takeovers. Yeah.
I obviously like. Cough up a lung. Where you from, Marcy son?
The Marcy son. Yeah, you know, I know what you're talking about.
Reasonable Doubt.
Yeah, Reasonable. I don't like Reasonable Doubt the album, but yeah, go ahead. But you're right. I know what you're talking about.
I can't think of the name of it right now.
I know what you're talking about.
Call me on guard, you jerk. you're not a Jay-Z fan.
Yeah, though. You know that. But I do mess with Blueprint. I think the Blueprint was amazing. That album was like that. American Gangster.
And you admitted it years later, but you try to hate at the time. But see,
hate on what?
The Blueprint. When the Blueprint.
No, I didn't. And I always liked Blueprint.
When the Blueprint first came out, that's what Nas just destroyed him.
He did. Ether. Killed him.
So there was a reason to hate on Jay-Z at the time. It was a perfect time.
I did hate on that time. I sure did. But all right.
Classic albums.
It was a classic album. I'm not going to lie to you. Jay's Rock Nation has a deal with the NFL to advise the league on entertainment, which includes. What?
I said Big Pimp. Go
ahead. Big Pimp's like that. Includes Super Bowl halftime shows and the NFL musical promos. He will also help with social justice views. It's been reported that Jay-Z will be part owner of an NFL team. Here is what Jay had to say about the union with the NFL and kneeling.
Okay. I think we've passed kneeling. Yeah, I think it's time to go into actionable items. I think everyone knows what the issue is, and we're done with that. Everyone knows what you know what the issue is. You know why we were kneeling? Okay. Do you know the issue?
Yeah.
Do you know the issue? Yes. We all know the issue now. Okay. Next. What are we moving on next? And I'm not again. So to be clear, for the room. I'm not minimizing that part of it because that has to happen. That's a necessary part of the process. But now we all know what's going on. What are we going to do? How are we going to stop? Because the kneeling.
And that's what Jay-Z is talking about. What are we going to do? Like, what are we going to do about the situation? And so I had to call my homie. We had to call the homie. Right now we have Lex Diamonds from Heritage Sports Radio Network going online. Hey, Lex, let's get right into it. Is Jay-Z to you a sellout?
Absolutely not. I don't even understand where folks are getting this sellout stuff from. Everybody's getting a check from the NFL, man. Eric Reed got a check. Kaepernick got undisclosed money that was millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. I mean, why is everybody hating on Jay? Jay's trying to be a minority NFL owner. I mean, what's wrong with that?
But you know, my thing. All right, so this is the thing. I'm on a wait and see thing with this whole situation. If you know, Jay-Z is all for the cause when this comes out, like, you know, it's helping out with the movement, within educating the NFL. Because outside, I feel like, you know, we need everybody, all hands on deck outside of what's going on, police brutality. You know what I mean? I'm talking about within the NFL in terms of having players' rights and whatnot, and be able to kind of voice their opinions about certain things. If he can help with that situation, then I'm all right with it.
BS. I'm calling BS.
On me?
No. On the Jay-Z hiring. It was all for image.
Of course, I do agree with that. I don't think
it was to invoke change. And here's why. Mm-hmm. Damore Smith, to me, is someone who can represent the players better than anybody at this time. Uh-huh. And invoking change. And from a cultural standpoint, and from a professional standpoint, considering his background, dude, why do you need Jay-Z in that regard? Yeah. Again, this was something that the NFL was doing because they're losing viewers.
I agree.
They also want to have more entertainment that people, the hip-hop community, will like to support. This has nothing to do with social injustice. It's bullcrap. And if it did, it's years late. Why not contact Jay-Z back then? This is a win for the NFL from an image standpoint, and this is a win for Rock Nation from a financial standpoint.
I agree.
Point blank, Damore Smith is more than enough to represent the players, to also represent the voice of the people outside of the league that are fans. And again, you're trying to get people to watch and come to the stadium. That's it.
Lex, what do you say about that?
I guess my question is, like, what is the action plan to stop police brutality from the NFL's perspective? Like what can they do
from the NFL?
NFL's perspective?
Yeah, I don't see. Again, I never looked at it in terms of the NFL having a big play in that. I mean, athletes should. My thing is that athletes should have a voice, right? and you shouldn't try to derail a voice. That was my issue with the NFL. Like, they were trying to derail a voice, like some of the owners were. You know, I didn't think there was a big issue with the kneeling. But again, the whole thing. I do agree with Jay-Z in this aspect when he stated this, though. Like, I'm about action, right? You can do so much kneeling and whatnot, and it's all about action. I get what he was trying to say. I think he messed up in that presser. He messed up in that presser when he tried to, I don't want to say, like, demean kneeling, because I think that's the wrong term to use, but he tried to minimize kneeling and to say, like, okay, like, kneeling, we did that, it's over. There's a way you can kind of phrase that. Like, if you want to, you know, in terms of, you know, a PR move, you state, like, it's about action. We did the kneeling thing, and it's been beneficial for the cause. But let's take it to the next level.
It's not about kneeling. It's not about kneeling, in my opinion.
I didn't say that either. I'm just saying it's a PR move.
Ask Michael Bennett, is it about just kneeling?
Mm-hmm.
Because after Beyond Kaepernick, he was the one that was getting slammed on the ground by the cops on camera.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, it happens. So it's not just about Kaepernick kneeling for these high-profile cases that have taken the media by storm, so to speak, but it's about what we deal with every day.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All of us who have been discriminated on by police officers. And again, I just feel like you pick Jay-Z. Why?
Oh, you know why they pick Jay-Z.
I'm not going to call him a sellout. I would take the opportunity if I was him as well. You know, but I don't think it's really all about social change at all or social injustice.
But the issue is with that is like, because Hove, he came out and said earlier, like, I don't need the NFL. Like, he went against people who try to do like similar deals. He was like, hey, don't do no Super Bowl thing with the NFL. And now Rock Nation is going to be able to do Super Bowls.
That's where the hypocrisy comes
in.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. So Lex, you know, we're hearing us talk. What do you think about it?
I'm confused because what he did was a business decision,
right,
to empower Rock Nation and his partner. He's a billionaire. He's trying to be a $2 billionaire.
Yeah.
My thing is, I mean, let's like look at the whole situation.
Mm-hmm.
The song in itself, the national anthem in itself, is a bad song.
Mm-hmm.
So for us, honestly, it should be more. The issue should be more. Let's remove the national anthem.
Oh, wow.
Like, kneeling is okay. I understand why Cap did it, and that's great. But that's not going to stop police from beating people. Cap kneeled like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
They're still beating kids. He's still watching videos of the police beating people and harassing young African-Americans and young brown men and women every day. So that kneeling stuff is, I totally understand what Jay was saying. He's not saying that it's bad to kneel. Jay is just saying that we can do more than just kneel. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, like, when those kids were throwing those rocks at those police officers in Baltimore a few years ago,
mm-hmm.
I thought that, to me, was very empowering because it forced the police to make a decision. You either going to gun us down and show the world that you're monsters, or you're going to bow down to what we're trying to do. And I, you know, I applaud those kids for that because that took a lot of courage to do that. You know what I'm saying? Because if there was no cameras around, if this wasn't the social media era, they might have shot all those kids like they used to do back in the 60s. So I don't have an issue with Jay-Z empowering the people from a standpoint as an owner, because the only way we're going to change this whole country is money. If you have power, if you have money, you have power. If you don't have money, you don't have power. Now Jay-Z has positioned himself to be an owner in the NFL, in the biggest professional sports, you know, franchise, whatever, league or whatever, in the whole freaking world. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that is a huge deal, man. Jay-Z lived in the project. You know what I'm saying? And he brought himself up from the mud and is a billionaire and is in a position where he can be an owner of an NFL team. That's admirable. You know what I'm saying? For us, we have somebody to look up to and say, hey, I can be like Jay, or I can be like Barack Obama, the first African-American president. Those are a great achievement. I get what everybody's saying about Kaepernick. Kaepernick does not care about playing in the NFL. He got paid already.
Well, Lex, we obviously would need more time, you know, and some of your views are, I mean,
they're good. They're good views.
They're good. You got a couple that's like, dang, like really? I don't want to say extreme because I'm not disagreeing with you. You know what I'm saying? I mean, because this is a good discussion. So, but my question is, my last question, and it's like kind of like the bottom line, so to speak, is will Roc Nation's deal with the NFL, will it result in positive change that's sustainable over time? That's my question.
I guess my question back to you is, like, what are you trying to change? By Roc Nation agreeing, partnering with the NFL to do music and entertainment, that's what Roc Nation is, a music and entertainment company. Mm-hmm. So from that perspective, that's a win. Jay-Z hires minorities in his company.
Sure.
So he's just giving other minorities opportunities to work with the NFL. I mean, that's basically what it is. I mean, Jay does stuff for the community all the time. Everybody knows that. You know, he's paying people's legal fees and helping in Africa, helping in the community. I mean, he does a lot of things. I think people look at his bank account and they feel like he's supposed to just give all of his money to everybody else when he's earned that money by making decisions, you know, good decisions.
Not at all. I hear what you're saying. I feel as though it's the way it was reported. Basically, it was indicated that Roger Goodell made this move, you know, in order to continue to move in a different direction, so to speak. And obviously, Jay-Z's stance over the course of the last several years with him not wanting to perform and telling others not to perform either. I think that's where this comes from. That's all. But I hear what you're saying. From a music entertainment standpoint, I totally agree with you.
But you guys are missing the one thing that everybody is exploiting.
What's that?
In all situations. Like, you're mad at the NFL because they chose Jay-Z, who is popular mm-hmm. in our community, to be a representation to kind of bridge the NFL, you know, with the minority community. But they're ESPN. They hire women that are attractive. And put them on TV
mm-hmm.
for the purpose of us men to watch.
Yeah, that's
you
true.
Know what I'm saying? So it's like that in a lot of fields. So I'm not mad at the NFL for making that decision because it was a smart decision. The black community has turned their back on the NFL. A lot of it is because of Kaepernick.
Like I said, it could be a longer discussion. It should be, you know. We'll come back to it, I'm sure, at some point because it's going to be interesting to see how, you know, Jay-Z and Roc Nation's involvement all unfolds. But you know it's going to be better halftime shows.
Yeah, you know
we
it.
Can guarantee that. I don't know if that's going to make me buy a ticket per se, but, you know,
only time.
Again, we'll see.
Only time. So, hey, Lex, man, thanks for being on, my man.
Hey, guys, don't forget about Beyonce.
Oh, she going, you know the package deal, so we know. We know.
Hey, man. All
right, thanks, Lex, man.
All right, guys.
All right.
Peace, bro.
Peace. Yeah, that's my man, Lex Diamonds from Heritage Sports Radio Network. He was passionate about it, man. He was passionate. I like that, though.
Yeah, to get rid of the national anthem, though, that's like out there. That's what I was saying, like, for real.
I know that was totally different.
That's not happening.
That's definitely not happening.
It's
not like, happening.
Why he says, not a good song. Now, that right there.
Hey.
Now that would spark that's gasoline.
That
will spark a huge fire because, you know, people feel passionate about that for different reasons. I mean, mm-hmm. this country obviously became independent.
Yeah.
It's a lot that goes into it. Now you gotta find sustainable solutions, and that's not one.
Yeah, and that's real talk.
Now what they gonna replace it with a Jay-Z song, you know? What are we gonna do at the beginning of games? This is not just America. You go to Canada, it's there. National, the Canadian, for real. This is what we do at sporting events.
I know, man.
That to me is a little different.
Hell, he was extreme.
Some people protest flags. Some people protest songs.
Hey, my man, that was extreme, though. Will Boogie ever be the same again? We'll discuss it after the break. We're going to overtime. You listen to the Urban Sports Scene for ages. You dig? Deuces. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. Ray Jeezy, myself, Wally, Will T is out. Last week, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins tore his ACL working out. Do you think Boogie is done as being a top tier big in the NBA?
Oh man, this is a tough one. Injuries add up, and if you look at the history of the league, when guys aren't healthy consistently, let's say Dwight Howard, for example, in the beginning of his career, maybe let's say the first 5 to 7 years, man, he was in, I mean, just unbelievable shape. He was probably the most well-conditioned athlete up there with the LeBrons of the world. And once those injuries started to add up, he hasn't been the same guy. And it started in L.A., if you ask me. He started missing time at Kobe, started questioning the man's toughness. But from that point on, you know, you can say that maybe some of his choices had a role in his injuries. But again, that's just the most recent example I can think of. Once those injuries start to add up, he's just not the same guy.
Yeah.
He's not. And again, he was picked up by Washington. Our boy Troy was so excited about it. And he had no impact. He had no impact because he was injured most of the time. When he was on the floor, he wasn't bad.
Who, Dwight?
Right. But he's not the guy that when he led Orlando to the finals, you thought this guy was going to be a dominant big.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
DeMarcus Cousins, he was supposed to be a max guy.
Yeah.
And now with these, again, these compiling injuries, if I'm saying that right,
yeah, right,
or compounding, whatever.
Compound, yeah.
Yo, there is a very slim chance of him, you know, being an elite big moving forward. And I think he wasn't athletic to begin with. At least Dwight Howard had that going for him, that he was so athletic. So now that also might be a plus for him because he can come back and shoot.
I was going to read.
He has post moves, you know, so maybe that is a plus. I don't know, man, but I don't think that he's going to be the guy he was. But can he be a Charles Barkley who always will be a walking double-double no matter what condition or no matter how many injuries he had? Maybe. And that's might what he cap out to be, Barkley, after, you know, those injuries that added up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, see, it's hard for me about Boogie because, I mean, once you blew your Achilles, you tear your ACL, he's never been a guy that's been predicated off athleticism. So I've always looked at, you're a skilled guy, you can get away with it. But man, you tore your ACL after you blew your Achilles. Like, that's hard, man. I don't care how unathletic you are. That's hard to come back from.
What injury did he just return from in the playoffs?
It was a thigh. It was a groin or a thigh injury. I mean, that's hard, man. Yeah, like on Twitter,
third major injury.
I know. On Twin,
legs.
I know. At Black Martian said possibly his game isn't predicated on just athleticism. He's not an above the rim player. If he tightens up and is post and back to the basket moves and he can still be a threat from the 3-point line, and he'll be just fine. And be a threat from the 3-point line, he'll just be fine.
You know what? That's a possibility, and I don't disagree with that. I'm sorry, but
it's hard.
It's also a possibility he could be out the league.
I don't think he'll be out the league.
I said possibly. He's on a 1-year deal right now, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Who's going to sign him next year?
I mean, you get a vet, man. Like, you got bum centers in the NBA. I'm saying, like, I don't think he'll ever – see, I think he'll be in the league because you got players who aren't good in the NBA. I mean, let me rephrase that. Players who
– on that level.
He's still better than right now, even hurt. As a big.
Maybe that's a discussion we need to move toward in the future.
Look at his play. Exactly.
Who would you take, DeMarcus Cousins over?
Joakim Noah?
Or Bismack Biyombo?
Yes.
Or
yes.
Some of these guys.
Let me put this. It depends on the team. Like, Biyombo may be a defensive player that team definitely needs. Like, I don't like the kid that plays for Rockets. What's his name? The center. I think he's horrible as an offensive player. He's just a good rim runner, you know, dunks because Harden throws him a lob. Decent defender. But would you say that, you know, give him the ball, give me a basket? Is he that type of guy?
Well, if you're talking about fit too, I also think the Lakers would still be a good fit when he comes back.
Yeah, I think it's still – because you could still have –
because they still have a great defensive roster right now.
Yeah, I think he would still be a good fit. You know, it depends what they want to do.
It'd be nice if the Lakers could replace him with like Larry Nance, somebody who's athletic, young.
Well, hey, they're working out Dwight. Speaking of Dwight, we talked about
Dwight. It's not going to happen from what I read.
I think Dwight
or Noah is a bad idea.
But I think Dwight's a good fit for this team because AD doesn't want to play center.
Yeah.
Because AD said he wants to play the four. And Dwight's a good defensive player. I mean, but it goes against – I think LeBron needs more spacing. That's the only issue. Like, LeBron needs more spacing. Dwight can't pick and pop.
Yeah. Would you take Cousins over
– This is a good one.
Timothy Mozgov.
Yes.
Mason Plumlee.
Yes.
Wow.
Like, and these Mason players Plumlee's aren't –
on the USA team right now.
And that ain't saying a lot.
I'm just saying.
Like, let me switch the question to you. Would you take Mason Plumlee over Boogie?
I'm going to go back to what you said. Depends on the team.
Touche, Ray G. Touche.
Depends on the team. I'm not going to set myself up because with Portland, man, Mason Plumlee, that's how he got paid. He was in the right. He was on the right team.
Oh, man.
And they balled. Just like, I mean, for real. Portland has gotten some people paid. Your boy Aminu got paid.
Yeah, and now he's gone. He ain't there no more.
I know. That's what I'm saying. They leave and they get paid. Same way Plumlee left.
Yeah.
These guys, they thrive within that team, which they play so well together. They have a coach who obviously is doing something right there, and they get paid. Now, again, what situation would be right for Boogie? That's what it comes down to me. But just saying he's better than a lot of guys right now, I don't know if that's true. That's an insult to some guys that's playing. Would the Wizards take him right now as the way their roster is currently constructed?
Nah, they wouldn't, because the Wizards is a different team. They wouldn't. And it wouldn't be a good fit anyway.
Bring it back home. Would you take him over Thomas Bryant right now?
Nah, I wouldn't. Not now. I ain't going to lie to you. I wouldn't. Because I think Thomas Bryant, I don't think he'll do more than Boogie. I don't think he's a better basketball player than Boogie, but it's a better fit right now. It's just a better fit. On our Facebook page, Omar Thompson said, "Nah, Boogie used to be my dog till he pulled that puppy move and ran to Golden State." Dang, man. George hit us up on Facebook too and said his knee won't allow it by the look of things.
Man, that pick and roll was everything to Boogie during the finals, bro. They were using that.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, defense? Kyle Lowry was going.
Yeah, man. That was mean. That wasn't nice.
Everything when they saw him.
They saw a wounded warrior, man. That joint was not nice.
So I feel bad for him, though, man. He just is coming back again.
I feel he was getting in shape, though. He was getting lean, bro. He lost weight.
Yeah, did you watch the basketball tournament? Because he had a team in it.
I ain't watched the basketball tournament. I saw him do an interview, and I was surprised how lean he looked.
He looked good. And also, what came out of that, just him being on the sideline, being such a big part of that event was he loves basketball that much.
He does,
so
though,
man. You just really feel for him that he's losing that. I think because he's been abrasive on approach at times with the media, and because he's gotten technical fouls, he's shown
people
some,
look
some
at him
fire.
A different way. Yeah.
But at the end of the day, he's a young 20-something-year-old kid. That's why he got so upset when Durant got hurt, and he didn't like the way the media responded because he felt like, man, y'all not looking at us as people.
Yeah.
And I just feel bad for him.
I do, man. Chris Van Ray on Facebook said, nope, he might only have a season or two left before he'll retire. Dang, man. This is. I hope the best for Boogie. Ray mentioned it. I hope the best for Boogie. I really hope we hear this story about – like his testimony. I hope this is his testimony. You know, he comes back in a year, maybe, you know, a year or two, and he's Boogie again. And he can say, you know what, this made me love basketball even more. And then he just comes out and just dominates, man. I just hope it for this dude, man, because like you mentioned, man, he gets a bum rap for being this quote unquote bully on the block. Yeah, the bully on the block. But to me, watching him against playing with the Warriors, you saw a dude that loves basketball and tried to do whatever it took to get on the basketball court. Because when he hurt himself in that first, I want to say the first round of the playoffs, and he still came back, I was like, dude, you shouldn't even come back. Why put your body through this?
I'll say this. Last thing I'll say.
Yeah.
And again, it's speaking to his character is there's nobody that has said he's been a bad teammate.
Yeah.
And if you ask a guy like Isaiah Thomas, who was going to shake Chris Paul's hand, and Boogie stopped like, nah, that dude is fake. We ain't shaking hands. Well, look at all that he did during this game. Nah, we ain't doing it. That's the guy you want that's going to ride with you. You know he's on your squad. You know he's got your back no matter what. And he's not being phony. He's not doing things just because it looks good for image.
Yeah.
He's real.
That's true.
And of course, we all have our moments.
Yeah.
So, you know, give a brother the benefit of doubt when it comes to just his reputation. Because, again, he wears emotions on his sleeve. I'd rather have that than a guy who doesn't care.
That's true. And that's real talk.
Hey, he's coming back though, but I don't know what he can be. A double double. I think he's gonna be, man, like boxing.
I hope he's a double
double guy, chain. Regardless.
I hope so. But thank you all for listening to the Urban Sports Chain. Urban Sports Chain, we appreciate it. You've been listening to the Urban Sports Chain for ages. You dig? Deuces. Hey, Mega, lead us out, big homie.